Good evening, London. The time is 2 minutes past seven. You are tuned into Love Sport Radio on your Tuesday night, and it is time, of course, for the fan shows here on Love Sport. And tonight it is hosted by Back of the Nest between 7 and 9. It is the Crystal Palace fan show. I've got DR and Max with me in the house. Boys, you know I'm a big Charlton fan. We're going to be throwing banter backwards and forwards throughout this show. Got to say, that was a pretty weak intro from you two. No singing at all. I mean, always singing.
Yeah, I mean,
Valley Floyd Road, mate. Always.
You was happy with the Palace song there.
No, yeah, I did like the Palace.
Glad all over.
Do you know what? Basically, doing the score every Saturday afternoon as the goals go in, I'm behind all the London teams, and so it almost feels like I have an affinity with each and every one. I find myself cheering Millwall, and the old me, that would have never happened in a million years. I have become, my second team now is AFC Wimbledon, because Wally Downs is going to pull off the impossible, and I've got a soft spot for Crystal Palace, even though I am a Charlton fan, all courtesy of Love Sport Radio. Now listen, boys, let's get into it. Let's start chewing the fat. Palace at the weekend didn't get the result they wanted at Selhurst Park, going down 3-1 to Manchester City. But let me ask you, as fans, what did you make of the performance? And if I'd have said to you at the beginning of the game, will you take a 3-1 defeat? What would you have said to me?
Not really. Maybe a 2-1 defeat, something like that.
But you would have accepted a close defeat?
Yeah, a close defeat. The performance was as expected, really. You faced one of the best sides in Europe, then the Champions League quarterfinals. So, yeah, I think we've basically done as much as we can do. However, there are some fans that were suggesting after the game that we could have actually, you know, we gave too much respect to City and maybe we could have brought the game more to them. So, yeah, there's that part of it. But I feel like the result was just acceptable.
Max, when the first goal went in, I mean, it was early doors for you. Did it change anything? Did you see a notice in the way that the team started to shape up after conceded so early?
No, I think the way that we set up, we kind of assumed that we'd keep them out for a little bit, and when they go 1-0 up, they then have the license to be able to sit back a little bit, and it makes it a lot easier for them because we're still unwilling to kind of press high up the pitch and engage them. So it made it a lot easier when they scored early, but I think it did really affect us, and we weren't able to get into the game as much as we'd have liked.
Let's talk about starting 11s then, from Roy. Happy with them? Benteke, was that a surprise up top? I mean, of course, a big, strong man to hold play up there, but he was falling over a lot, I noticed, and play seemed to break down on him quite a bit.
Yeah, it wasn't really a surprise because he has come off the bench for a couple of games and has impacted it in a positive way. And I think Roy, before the game, even said it, that from now on, it's more likely we're going to see Benteke, basically, because the Batshuayi is still a loanee, so it makes sense. I feel like he'd done a decent job, so yeah, I don't think it was a major surprise.
What about for you, Max?
No, I expected him to start. He'd been very positive when he came on previously, as DR mentioned, and Batshuayi had been a little bit quiet recently. Also against City, with the way they press so high up the pitch, I think we were more likely to play a kind of direct game, going longer, going with the aerial balls, and for that kind of style of play, I think Benteke was the right option.
What does the future hold for Christian Benteke at Crystal Palace? Because speaking to a lot of Palace fans across the weekends, reacting to performances, not so much this season because he hasn't been in the team that much, in all honesty, but last season it felt like they'd had it with him. This season he's barely featured. I mean, really, you could do with him off of the wage bill, couldn't you?
Yeah, there was a rumour, I think, last week in the papers suggesting that we're looking to sell Benteke. So I think there's a possibility that he could go in the summer. But you have to look at it in a way that who are we going to bring in? Because you don't want to get rid of him for too cheaply, like around the 10, 15 million mark.
How many years has he got on his contract?
I think he's got next summer. So not this summer, next summer. His contract
runs out.
Yeah. Right. So we're in a position where if we don't sell him, then he could go for very cheaply in January. But then again, if he starts scoring goals, which doesn't seem likely at the moment, his value could increase. So I don't know. I think the future with Benteke at Palace is not looking kind of bright due to his wages. If his wages were a bit lower, I think we wouldn't really be looking to sell him.
Max, you seeing any glimpses of the old player in there that gives you some optimism?
You know what? I don't think we do. At least with regards to the goal scoring. I think his hold-up play is pretty good. He's obviously one of the best headers in Europe. He's really strong physically, and he does kind of bully defenders when he's in the mood. But with regards to goal scoring, which you could say is the main job of a striker, he just looks completely off it, a shadow of his former self. And even at Liverpool, where he got a lot of criticism, you know, he's still got 10 goals playing in a system which didn't really suit him and kind of getting 5 minutes here and there off the bench. But then at Palace, you know, he started the first season really brightly, 17 goals all competitions. And we were thinking, this is our record signing. This is who we paid the big bucks for. And he just hasn't been there for whatever reason.
I understand that, but I think since he has come back from his injury, there's been positive signs, and he was out for a lengthy spell. And that, I always say this, it's like mentally and physically it drains someone. And you saw it by the video that the club released with Benteke's recovery process. It was very hard. So I feel like as a fan base, we need to be a bit more patient, understand the goal part of it. But then again, even Batshuayi, when he has scored goals, in majority of them games, he was isolated. So it's not like we're getting the best out of our strikers in general. I think tactically, we're just not set up to benefit our strikers. It's just how it is. And Benteke has fallen as a culprit of that.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Benteke, for me, you got to be putting a lot of crosses in the box, etc. Yeah. You seem to have wide men that rather than beating their man and whipping it in, they're beating their man, cutting inside and creating something for themselves. Christian Benteke isn't known for his work on the ground as such, is he? So could you see Roy trying to play to his strengths? If Roy said that you're going to be seeing more of Christian Benteke as our player rather than the loanee, do we expect then that maybe Roy's going to change the tactics to try and get the best out of him?
I mean, I don't know if I expect that because Roy hasn't really been keen on change. So I'm not too sure, but there might be a possibility because we're pretty much safe now. So Roy might decide to change it up and play to his strength. But then again, if you're looking at Benteke's performance against Man City, I thought in general he had a very good performance and he was isolated at times. So we just have to slowly, you know, build a chemistry there because he hasn't played for a while with these guys. So I think as the games go on, maybe he gets an odd goal or two.
Well, I tell you what, I'm enjoying chatting to you guys here in the studio from back of the Nest, DR and Max. But you lot listening out there, if you want to get involved in the conversation on all things Crystal Palace, the Eagles, give us a shout here. The number is 0208 70 2558 or at Love Sport Radio across the socials. We look forward to hearing from you on all things Crystal Palace. Maybe it's a reaction to that performance at the weekend going down 3-1 to Manchester City at Selhurst Park. Or is it the future of the likes of Christian Benteke or even the future of Big Roy?
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Of course, it's a show for the fans, by the fans. I've got the Back of the Nest podcast guys, DR and Max, here with me in the studio. We're going to open up to the phone lines, guys. We've got a caller. I'm hoping it's not someone that wants to tear me down the phone line because I'm wearing a Charlton shirt on a Crystal Palace show. But let's see what he's got to say for himself. Keith from Purley. Hello, Keith.
Oh, yeah. Good evening. Yeah.
Great to have you on, matey. So you're a Palace fan?
I've been a Palace fan since the mid-60s, yeah.
Excellent. What do you want to say, matey? You want to open it up to the floor? What opinions have you got for us?
Basically, you were talking about, I think, Benteke. I think, you know, I thought he played well on Sunday, and on the BBS he got mad of the match. Regarding IU, I went to the under-23 games yesterday, and I don't know anybody else in the studio that was there, and he was absolutely dreadful. He missed 3 one-on-ones with the keeper, and at the end of the game, he just stormed off on his own. Hodgson was there to see him perform, and if there's any truth in the rumours that Hodgson's willing to pay $4 million for him, I'd find that quite unbelievable.
Hi, Keith. I watched a little bit of the under-23s game, and he did look pretty listless, kind of moping around up front and not really working hard for the team, which is not what you want to see, especially when you have a senior player playing in one of the junior teams. You really want to see them setting an example, and he didn't seem to be doing that, as well as kind of missing those chances as well. And before I'd kind of seen that, I honestly thought to myself, $4 million for a squad player on the bench in the Premier League, that's pretty good. But the way that he played in that game made me think, I'm not sure I want him here.
Keith, were you excited by the incoming of Jordan Ayew. I must say, isn't it back-to-back relegations for him with Aston Villa and Swansea? I mean, I'm not even sure if he's Premier League quality. What was your opinions when he was signed?
I was like many supporters that didn't think that he should have been signed. And when he has played, he's played. We're doing the same with Batshuayi that we were doing him, playing him down the middle when he's too small as a target man. You know, we're doing the same with Batshuayi. If you're going to play him, you need somebody alongside him. I know Hodgson doesn't like playing two up front, but even at home, you know, we should be playing slightly more attacking, not so much so against Man City, but, I mean, against Huddersfield, we played one up front, which was, you know, just ridiculous.
Yeah, Keith, I think with Jordan Ayew this season, he's had that odd goal or two here, I think Grimsby and then the Wolves game, but then after that he hasn't really played as much. Do you think that contributes as well to his performance? Maybe he's just a bit frustrated, and I understand what you mean by the way that he left the pitch. It's just unacceptable, but can you understand his point of view as well?
Not really, because when he has played, he just hasn't performed. So, you know, I don't think he's got any, you know, he can complain about, you know, not being picked. And, you know, do we really want to sign a player? I mean, you might know what's happened to Wickham, but he's disappeared off the scene for about the last 3 weeks. We haven't heard a word about him from Hodgson or anybody else. And obviously, since he's become available and Benteke's back, Ayew hasn't featured at all. He's been on the bench, but hasn't come on at all. And he's not likely to while we've got these other players in front of him.
So do you think next season when Ayew leaves, do you think we should bring in someone more experienced, or would you rather for us to go and play maybe one of the younger players from the youth academy?
You know, I think we should bring somebody in. If we are going to go for a target man, let's get somebody that is big. But I mean, I don't know what the situation is with Benteke or what the situation is with Wickham. Does anybody know what's happened to Wickham again?
Well, he was injured. I think he's fit now, but I'm not too sure if he's in Roy's plans. No one really knows with Conor Wickham, because he comes back from injury and he somehow gets injured without playing. So it's a bit weird.
Yeah, he's like Palace's version of Andy Carroll, pretty much, isn't he? Keith, let me ask you. It sounded like you were pretty optimistic about Christian Benteke to a certain extent, talking about him getting man of the match and saying that he did some decent stuff. Have you got patience for him then? Are you happy for him to be there in the summer, not recoup any money for him, like the lads have said in the studio, then lose him on the cheap in January if he's still not performing, but you're hoping that he can turn it around?
I mean, I think, you know, when he came on in the Huddersfield, I think it was the Huddersfield game, and he made a difference, you know, winning the ball. But as people have said, in the game against Man City on Sunday, it's all right for him winning the ball in the air, but he needs somebody close up with him, either Townsend or Zaha or another striker. Yeah, I would keep him, but who's going to spend? Who's, you know, we might lose him for nothing, but are we actually going to get any money for him if we want to sell him?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I can't see who's going to give you even 10 million for him, the current form he's under. Maybe China. You could look at offloading him over to China. Anybody out there that you'd like to bring in that you can think of specifically, Keith?
I can't think of anybody at the moment. All I would like to see for the rest of the season, now that we are 99% safe, is for Hodgson to play a bit more positive football, especially at home. You know, why can't we play two up front? We're not going to get relegated now. You know, let's try and entertain the fans. Majority of the supporters that go to games go to the home games. And they've seen 4 home wins this season. Somebody actually sent me a text this morning, said it's worked out £135 a win this, you know, per game this season, which, you know, for home form is just not good enough. I'm quite lucky that I've been to probably over half the away games, and I've seen Palace win away this season. But for people that have been watching the games at home, it's been pretty poor football.
Well, listen, Keith, thanks a lot for your call. It's much appreciated, your views there on the Eagles. And it seems like a huge problem, the forward line and how to get the system right to get the best out of the players that Crystal Palace currently have at their disposal. Keith from Purley there giving us his views. I'm in the studio with DR and Max from the Back of the Nest podcast. But if you want to open it up like Keith did, guys, and get involved in the conversation, the number is 0208 7020 558 or at Love Sport Radio across the socials. We're talking all things Crystal Palace, the Eagles, all the way until 9 p.m. this evening. It's myself, James Sherwood, on the airways, standing in for Johnny Burrows. Yeah, Johnny Burrows does the fan shows nowadays, doesn't he? Yeah, see, no one tells me that. They're just like, no, James, can you just come in? And I'm like, why? Who's not there? Who's slacking? But I am here all the way until 10 p.m, in fact, because after you guys, we've got the QPR fan show as well. So, boys, let me open that up to you. These are some of the points that Keith was making, particularly about this idea that you've got strikers that seem to be suited to playing a two-man front line. Keith also mentioned about experimenting for the last few games. Would you like to see that?
I'd definitely like to see that. I'd like to see Benteke and Batshuayi play together up front, kind of combine the two Belgians. What I find quite strange is that when Benteke was out injured and we basically didn't have a fit striker, Roy played 4-4-2 with two wingers up front. He played Zaha and Townsend up front together, but he doesn't seem to want to play two strikers together up front in a 4-4-2 now that we've got some actually good strikers. And it's bizarre because he just doesn't seem to want to get the best out of the front men that we do have.
Yeah, because even when Zaha and Townsend played, maybe not so much Townsend, but particularly Zaha, he didn't put in the work rate of a midfielder when he was playing up front, did he? Maybe could that be something that Roy's thinking, that I don't want two forwards because, you know, they're not going to work hard enough off the ball for me, because Roy is cautious-minded.
Yeah, he actually is cautious-minded. You see it with his team selection, with Jeffrey Schlapp and James McArthur. No matter how bad they play, it seems like anyways, they still get selected. And so Roy's clearly got his favourite players. He likes his favourite players, players that who we can trust. And maybe it's just a case of him not trusting Benteke and Batshuayi out front. And for that reason, I don't really see it happening. If it does happen, I'll be very surprised.
Well, listen, boys, we will be chewing the fat on this more, i.e. reviewing Crystal Palace's performance at home to Manchester City this Sunday, just gone. Of course, Palace going down 3-1 at Selhurst Park. But there's some big football matches also happening during this show as well this evening live. In the Premier League, a 7:45 kickoff is Brighton versus Cardiff. So if we're talking enemies, there's me, Cholton, but you guys looked at me and just laughed when I put my Cholton shirt on. You're like, League One, you boy, go away. But a real rivalry that you guys are relishing and indulging currently in the Premier League is up against Brighton. So Brighton take on Cardiff, and this is a real six-pointer, isn't it?
Yeah, it hurts though. It's like, I know we're talking about pre-show, but if we at least got draw against Brighton or something, Brighton will be right in it.
Yeah.
And like, they're still in it, but it's like, it's going to be very hard for them to go down. If Cardiff do win, they've still got very hard games coming up, so it's still looking unlikely. But if we just got a point against Brighton and didn't allow them to do the double over us, maybe it could have been different.
Well, listen, we will keep our eye on that game for the duration of the show. And in fact, we can bring you some team news out of that one. Here is Richard Newman.
Brighton manager Chris Hughton has rung the changes after their 5-0 defeat to Bournemouth on Saturday. Five in all, including a return of club captain Bruno for his first home Premier League start since November. Probably more significant is the return from injury of the club's player of the season from last year, Pascal Gross, who's been out since the end of February. Adereza Yohanbach, Sonny March and top scorer Glenn Murray also return. They all replace Montoya, Bissouma, Lacadia, Andone and the suspended Anthony Knockhart. Three changes for Cardiff following their 2-0 loss at Burnley. Umar Nias replaces Kenneth Zahor up front, and in come Joe Rawls and Nathaniel Mendes-Lang for Harry Arter and Josh Murphy.
That's team news from the Amex, courtesy of Richard Newman, and we'll keep you posted as the goals go in that one. Brighton versus Cardiff. Also, two big games. Second legs of Champions League quarterfinals. Barcelona are hosting our very own Manchester United, and Juventus host Ajax. I've got some team news for the game concerning the English club. Here we go. So Barcelona's starting 11 is as follows. Ter Stegen in goal, then it's Roberto, Pique, Lenglet, Alba, Arthur, Busquets, Rakitic, Messi, Suarez and Coutinho. And Manchester United line up as follows. De Gea in goal, and then a back four of Young, Smalling, Lindelof and Jones. Midfield of McTominay, Fred and Pogba, and a front three of Martial, Rashford and Jesse Lingard. And again, we'll bring you all the goals as they go in those games in the Champions League, guys. Barcelona versus Manchester United and Juventus versus Ajax. But you are listening currently to the Crystal Palace fan show here on Love Sport Radio. show with the guys from the Back of the Nest podcast, DR and Max. If you want to get involved in the conversation at any point, guys, the number is 0208 7020 558 or at Love Sport Radio across the socials. When we come back, we'll get a bit more into that Palace-Man City game from the weekend.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Welcome back. The time is 7:23. You are listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with myself, James Sherwood, and I've got DR and Max from the Back of the Nest podcast representing here all the way until 9 p.m. tonight. If you want to get involved in the conversation as we take it all things Eagle, I've seen David, the technician, is even wearing an Eagle on his polo shirt, getting in the right frame of mind for this show. If you want to get involved like David is, give us a shout, guys. The number is 0208 7020 or at Love Sport Radio across the socials. DR, Max, we talked about the top end of the pitch and the problems there, i.e. putting the biscuit in the basket to scoring goals. Of course, the reverse fixture, your team, what, you had three shots on target during the whole game at the Etihad and you scored all three. Yeah. So, of course, that's fundamental to winning games. But let's look at the other end of the pitch. So defensively, you had to play this game without both of your first choice centre-backs. What kind of challenge did that pose? I mean, I know it's an obvious one, but it must have killed your optimism about the game.
Yeah, I think as Martin Kenny and Scott Dan, I think they're capable Premier League defenders, in my eyes, as backup defenders.
At a push.
Especially with Scott Dan, there's people that are getting his back after this game, especially due to, apparently he's lost his pace, whatever. But it's similar to Benteke. Scott Dan's nearly been out for a year as well. So, but it was really as expected. None of them really stood out for doing any major mistakes. It was just a normal game against Manchester City. You look at the talent between City and Palace, it's just enormous, and they did as expected. I don't think one of them stood out for any of the goals as much. Maybe Scott down for the first goal, that's it.
Yeah, I've got to say, actually, doing my research on this pro, that's right, I'm a professional on this show, right, doing my research before. I noticed statistically, between the fixture at the weekend and the reverse fixture, which you guys won 3-2, the stats, it was scary how similar they were. So really, Max, was it just a case of lady luck not being on your side this time?
I wouldn't say we were unlucky. I think we definitely deserved to lose. But we were definitely lucky at their stadium, because two goals basically out of nothing, you know, 99 times out of 100, Andros Townsend doesn't ping it in the top bins for the absolute goal of the season, 100%. And Walker doesn't make a silly tackle on Maya for the penalty. So I think we were lucky up there. And, you know, just today was... The previous game was just an example of a better team being a lesser team.
So let me ask you guys, we had Keith on the line and he was saying he wants to see some experimentation for the last couple of games for some attacking prowess, right? But with both your first choice centre-backs being out, prospectively for the rest of the season, right, for all of those games, Roy won't want to take a spanking, because people will really be calling for his head, won't they? Let's say that you lose all the rest of the games this season convincingly. He's going to be under some serious pressure. So I can see Roy just shutting up shop, bank of four, bank of five, Benteke's up top, and then just losing, you know, 1-0, 1-alls, 0-0s.
Yeah, we have been doing that, though, all season long. That's the thing. Right. If you look at our clean sheets, we have one of the most... we're in the top half in the clean sheet section. So we've been good defensively. We're just going forward. As you said, we don't want to lose games by a big margin. And you can see that by the team selection and tactics as well, because we struggle to score goals. We're more defensive focused rather than attacking. So you can see that on the pitch.
Max?
Yeah, I think so. I'd actually, on the previous point, I'd like to say that I think Kelly and Dan didn't actually... you know, do too many things wrong the weekend. I'd say the main weakness in our defence was the regular starter, who was Patrick Van Aanholt, and his opposite man Sterling scored twice. And I know that, you know, your opposite man scoring doesn't necessarily mean you've had a bad game, but he did have a bad game, especially defensively. He's obviously not a Premier League defender. He's a left winger, a frustrated left winger playing at left back, and he can't defend. There was a video of Sterling's first goal, and obviously you look at Dan, who's, you know, not keeping up with Sterling, quite understandably. But Sterling starts his run in the same position as Van Aanholt is, and 3 seconds later, he's 40 yards in front of him. And Van Aanholt's got the pace to keep up with him if he follows the run, and he doesn't follow the run.
I did notice, I don't know if you guys saw it, Gary Neville did a really good analysis of it and just saying that Sterling didn't give him any inkling that he was actually going to make that run, though. So could we cut Van Aanholt some slack on that, or does he just need to be more alert?
All right, let's skip the first goal, then go to the second goal. And Van Aanholt was literally next to Raheem Sterling, but it was poor defending. He's right next to you, but you don't look on his shoulder and you don't look at the player, and then he scores a goal. Like, it was poor defending. But for the first goal, as you said, from the stadium, it did look very poor from Van Aanholt because it seemed like he just stopped. But I didn't see the Gary Neville thing, so I'm not too sure about that. But it just looked poor from the stadium. It's just effort, really. He just stopped running. He just gave up very quickly, so.
He is up against someone who is in the running for player of the season, though. And you could probably say he's got to be in the running for player of the season in Europe, Raheem Sterling, his form this year.
Yeah, potentially. He is a good player. And obviously his movement, his agility, his acceleration is really, really strong. He's a very good attacking player. But I'm just not sure that PVA is really a good enough defender. And I would say it's probably the only position in the entire Palace team that doesn't have a reliable backup. Suare has only played 12 games in all competitions in 3 years. Hodgson obviously has decided that he wants Schlupp as a midfielder as opposed to as a left back. And so, I don't know, maybe there's some complacency creeping into his game.
The thing about Patrick Van Aanholt is that he's not really in a position to do what he done for the first goal because he has been playing for weeks. Like, he's just poor, and you have to show a bit of effort, and it's just a matter of effort. That's the thing. If you've played good, then fair enough, you can have that one-off game, but he hasn't been playing good lately, and people have been asking for a new left-back, so he has to be doing better than that.
Why do you think Roy is sticking with him then? Because we've mentioned that Roy, conservative manager, always going to be quite cautious. Why do you think he hasn't addressed this issue, and he seems quite happy with Van Aanholt?
We haven't really got anyone, have we? That's pretty much it. Papa Suare, he's injured. Jeffrey Schlupp, now he's more seen as a midfielder. So we haven't got anyone at left-back position. And by the looks of it, it seems like that should probably be our priority this summer, because if we continue, then teams will continue targeting Patrick Van Aanholt, and there'll be so many other results where we just lose due to poor defending from PVA.
Wow, okay, that's quite scathing. So you're saying Patrick Van Aanholt is the huge problem within... So you think the other three guys, so Wan-Bissaka, Sarko and Tompkins, are kind of 99% reliable when it breaks down on the left-back?
I've defended Patrick Van Aanholt, but it's just like, it's just a matter of effort now. It's just, when you lose that, okay, I can understand you getting out of position. It's just... You have to improve on your defensive side, but effort, you can always bring it in, and he just didn't bring it in for the first goal, and that's the frustrating part with me.
Max, same criticism from you?
Yeah, I've got to agree with DR. I think the rest of our first-choice defence, Wan-Bissaka, Tonkin Sacco, is a top-8 defence. It's a very, very good defence, and it's kind of let down a little bit by Van Aanholt, and he is good going forward. I will give that to him. I don't want to go in too hard on him, but he just seems to, you know, kind of duck out of tackles occasionally and not go in for 50-50s, and he is quite out of position a lot, and I think it's quite ironic that someone with the initials PVA can't stick to his man.
Well, if you're out there and you disagree with the boys, give us a shout. 0208 70 20 558 or at Love Sport Radio across the socials. It seems that, well, no, the jury's not even out on Patrick Van Aanholt. Apparently, Crystal Palace need a new left back, according to the boys from Back of the Nest, DR and Max. Don't go anywhere, guys. When we come back, we will be getting Crystal Palace player, ex-Crystal Palace player, Andy Gray on the line, hopefully. So don't go anywhere.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Good evening, London. You are listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. It's for the fans, by the fans. And those fans in the house with me are from Back of the Nest podcast. It's DR and Max. Boys, so we're reviewing the Crystal Palace performance against Manchester City, going down 3-1 at the weekend on Sunday, unfortunately, at Selhurst. Let me ask you real quick about the opposition, Manchester City. Did you see the champions elect? Do you think that they've got the legs to go all the way? Who do you fancy for the title?
I want City. I want City.
Have you got any Liverpool friends that are mates?
No, I've got one. I got one, but I just like the banter between, like, you know, with Liverpool, it's like every time they say it's like, yeah, I just for that fact, I just want City to win it.
I thought it was because, like, with myself, every Liverpool fan I know, they just think they're the best team in the world, and it's like, no, you're not. Barcelona are, yeah, followed by Manchester City, possibly, but who knows?
I mean, there's not that many City fans in London, so...
Yeah, well, listen, boys, like I mentioned before the break, we're going to have Andy Gray on the line, and in fact, the ex-Crystal Palace player is joining us now on the phone lines. Andy, hello.
How you doing, boys? You all right?
Very good. Great to have you on, my man. It's myself, James Sherwood, and the boys from the Back of the Nest podcast, DR and Max. So, Andy, we just want to get your opinion on the game from the weekend. The boys in front, and also we had a caller on the line, just saying again, they're seeing the same old Palace, a little bit too cautious, not much attacking prowess, and they'd like to see that change in the last couple of games, a little bit of experimentation. What did you make of the weekend's performance, and would you lean to a bit more experimentation now that safety is pretty much secure?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you'd throw the kids in. That's what normally happens when you're safe and you've got, what, four games to go? Is it four or five? I'm not sure.
Four, yeah.
Four games. So give it another two games and then throw the kids in. Get them a bit of experience.
Anybody in mind specifically that you know of that's coming through the ranks?
Not really, if I'm being totally honest with you, but there must be youngsters there.
There's always youngsters at Crystal Palace, isn't there? You know, they exactly cover most of South London between them and Charlton.
Hi, Andy. Yeah. Hi, Andy. We were just talking about Patrick Van Aanholt. What have you made of him? We've been talking about the left-back position. Do you think left-back position should be a priority in the summer? Because he hasn't been performing for a couple of months now. He has been, and it's been very poor. Once again, for the first goal and the second goal, you can blame him partially. So what do you think of Van Aanholt? Do you think we need a new left-back, or should we be patient?
Yeah, but you say we need a new left-back, but who are we going to go out and get?
I mean, I'm not the scout. That's the thing. I'm not too sure myself. But do you think that's what I'm saying? Do you think the club should prioritise the left back position?
No, but it's like saying, like, you know, your girlfriend didn't kiss you this morning. What are you going to do? Go out and get a new one?
I mean,
brilliant analogy.
With Van Aanholt, she hasn't been kissing me for months. It's been months. Yeah.
No, but listen. We're still in the Premiership, and that's the main thing. So let's see what happens next season. I mean, this season's, like, virtually over. All we're doing now is just sort of, like closing up the shop. And let's see what happens in the summer. But we all know we're not going to spend plenty of money in the summer. So, you know, we just want to be in that party. That's all it is. The Premiership's just being in that party. I mean, I've never heard of people talking about coming fourth as a milestone. I wasn't brought up that way. It was like first or nothing.
Yeah. What about Benteke? He's been rumoured potentially to leave the club in the summer. Do you think we should be... What about him? Do you think we should stick by him, or do you think it's right that we get rid of him?
Listen, if you spend 30 million on a striker and the wages that he's on, you've got to sit down with him and, like, find what the reason is, or just tell him to go back to basics. You know what I mean? Just work him. Like, just put our arm around him. It's just too much. We can't afford to let this guy go on a free transfer. And everyone's saying, well, do we take the gamble and give him a new contract? Well, of course you do, because if he fires again, then he'd be worth 50 million.
Yeah. Andy, I want to ask, obviously, the generation of Palace team that you came through and played in, you had some great players in there who went on to join bigger clubs. There's a lot of rumours around similar things to this Palace setup, if we look at the likes of Wilf Sahar and Wan-Bissaka. How does the club cope with that? Let's say that Wilf and Wan-Bissaka maybe head out in the summer. What do they do to come to terms with that and make sure that they continue to remain in the Premier League?
Well, put it this way, my theory is, and football, how I look at football is, if I was a chief scout at a club, or especially Palace, my club, I would go out and I would get the top scorer in the Championship, the second division and the first division. I would get the best left back, the best centre half. You're pretty much covered, didn't you, if you think about it. So, like, you've got three divisions, or is it one, two, three? Well, three divisions. You're getting the best players out of them three divisions.
But do we know that they have the ability to step up, though? There's always that, isn't there? You don't know whether they can cut it because of the golfing class.
Listen, it's a myth when you talk about a golfing class. Manchester City, their class. So it's a myth. So you take out Man City. Who else? Liverpool. Everyone's much as far as I'm concerned. Oh. They are proper. They are proper technicians. Who you would actually go and pay to watch them, even though they're not your team.
Right. I mean, that's quite a big statement to say that there's not much of a golfing class between. Let's go for the likes of West Ham United and currently your Middlesbrough. You think that over 38 games in and around, they'd be in the same place in the Premier League?
Middlesbrough? No. But you're missing the point of what I'm trying to say to you. What I'm saying is you look forward. I mean, things. Listen, once the young boy from Palace, the right back, why did he get a chance?
I think it was due to the injuries, really.
Thank you. So if that guy never got injured, that young boy would still be like having an hot dog before the game.
Yeah, no, listen, I completely value that point. I was just clarifying, mate, because I guess with that argument, you could say the same thing about Harry Kane, couldn't you? And
exactly.
Look on at the quality
exactly.
that he has become. So in the summer, what do you expect to see in and around Crystal Palace? Do you still expect to see Roy Hodgson at the helm? You're saying that Benteke, they want to stay and they want to keep him and get the best out of him.
No, that's just my opinion. I mean, like, listen, I'm not the chairman, I'm not the chief scout, I'm not the manager, but you're asking me a question, and I'm giving you my answer as a ex-player and a Palace fan all my life. And I'm saying, at the end of the day, I would get into that guy's head and see what the problem is.
And Max Meyer, do you think his second season he could really begin to flourish?
But Max has got to get a chance. He's got to get a run. He can't get one game and then he does well and then all of a sudden this rotation business comes in. No, either you're going to play him or you're not going to play him. It's as simple as that.
Yep, couldn't agree more. Andy, listen, thank you so much for your time and contribution on the show once again. It's much appreciated. That's former Crystal Palace player Andy Gray there, just giving us his thoughts on Crystal Palace currently and a few individuals and what he would do if he was at the helm. Boys, what did you make of that? I.e. particularly sitting down with Benteke and getting into his head and maybe giving him a cuddle, asking what's wrong.
I mean, yeah, you have to do that considering the wages he's on, and he's not, you've seen it previously, it's not like he came to Palace and didn't score a goal. He had a season where he scored 17 goals. So there's something in him. I don't know if it's just confidence, but looking back at his games since he has come back from the injury, it seems like his confidence building up. I don't know if I'm looking too much into it, but it seems like before he was very, very reluctant to take certain shots, but now he's taking them shots. He's putting himself forward, whereas before he wasn't.
And Max, what did you make of this idea about going into the Championship and buying the best goal scorer and the best left back? So I guess what we're saying is currently, who's top goal scorer in the Championship? Is it Neil Mopay? Top goal scorer in it?
Billy Sharp, maybe?
Or, yeah, Timo Pukki. Yeah, one of those Pukki, guys. Let's say that Norwich come up, so Timo Pukki and Billy Sharp, let's say they go up as well, so they're not on the table. Neil Mopay, if he went into Crystal Palace's team, is he going to score goals? Because we've already said here that Palace struggle with the type of player bringing in to play one man up top. Is Neil Mopay that kind of guy?
We tried it with kind of Dwight Gayle, the Championship kind of process, and he did score a couple goals, but then again, he wasn't really inside because he just wasn't up to that level. So I don't know whether it's better just to go with academy players rather than going for Championship. Because at the end of the day, some people think he'll be very cheap, but he won't be because Championship clubs are in a position. They know that Premier League clubs make lots of money, so why would they give it away?
Well, you're talking now probably 20 million. If you wanted to get Neil Mopay, I reckon it would be between 15 and 20 million. So
exactly.
It's not cheap.
Exactly. So for that instance, I'd rather go for one of the youth players.
Yeah. And that golf of class wouldn't worry you as much as between the Championship and the Premier League. So we're talking under 23s football.
I mean, yeah, it wouldn't. But I don't want to always look at Wan-Bissaka, but you saw Wan-Bissaka. It's just one opportunity you gave the person and he took it. But then again, it's not always like that. With Solly Kaiko, we gave him a couple opportunities and he didn't take it. So it always is 50-50. You never know.
Yeah, striker's a difficult position. I think with basically any other position, it's all right to chuck a young player in, but especially at striker, it's a difficult one. We saw with Gayle, he was obviously a very good finisher, and he's proven that at Newcastle and at West Brom in the Championship. But ultimately, he left Palace because the way that we play was not suited to him. And that's particularly a struggle with the strikers that we had. So I don't think Mopé would work if he came to Palace, even though he's a very good player. If we got a left-back from the Championship, a young guy, Rico Henry at Brentford, Tom Pearce at Leeds, someone like that, I'd love to see it.
What do you think out there, guys? Could Neil Mopé be the answers to Crystal Palace's prayers, or another forward from the Championship, or maybe even League One? What about certain Lyle Taylor, who's got 20 goals this season down at the Valley? Well, not just at the Valley, everywhere in League One. That's a huge step, though. That's a double jump. Give us a shout anyway, guys, if you want to give us your opinions on that. 0208 7020 558 is the number, or at Love Sport Radio across the socials. You are listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with the Back of the Nest guys. It's for the fans, by the fans.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Welcome back, London. The time is 7:46. This is the Crystal Palace Fan Show on your airways, courtesy of Love Sport Radio, hosted by the guys from the Back of the Nest podcast. It's myself, James Sherwood, with DR and Max here with me in the studio. Boys, we're going to get into the winners and losers of the game from the weekend, Crystal Palace versus Manchester City. We've already got into one. I would say Patrick Van Aanholt, is he very much going in the bin, courtesy of you two?
Yeah, I guess so.
Just for the one game. I'm not saying completely.
Yeah. We'll say Van Aanholt. There's another player.
Go on.
James McArthur.
James McArthur.
I don't know. Yeah.
He didn't work. You mentioned about Van Aanholt and effort. You felt maybe...
No, it's not effort. It's just with James McArthur, we've had so many games of ups and downs. And I think it was just another game of down, really. Whenever he had the ball, he seemed like he struggled just to keep it and just gave it away silly.
But that's everyone against Manchester City, isn't it? I mean, you're so unused to having the ball that when you get it you're like, oh, what's this?
I know what you mean. We only had like 26% possession, so it's not a lot, but then again, it's just some of his decision making was questionable once again. But I'm just saying, like, I want to change up from Van Aanholt. That's why I picked James McArthur.
Yeah. Max, I just want to ask you, actually, of the fact, talking about James McArthur in the middle of the park, of course, playing at the weekend, I saw a criticism that the Crystal Palace midfield were just giving Man City too much time. So they got into their shape, but then sat off them. And when you do that against players like De Bruyne, they're going to pick those balls in behind the fullback to put in the likes of Sane and Sterling, aren't they? So work ethic from the midfield at the weekend, was it there for you?
I definitely think it was. I don't think it's a problem with work ethic. And I'd actually say if you press Man City, they're more dangerous and they're more likely to hurt you. And, you know, their second goal and their third goal came from pushing high up the pitch, and all the Palace fans applauded and they just played it through us and scored. But on James McArthur, you know, there are three things certain in life: death, taxes, and McArthur playing kind of a 6 out of 10 average game, not really doing anything. He's all right and he's done a very good job over a number of years for us. But ultimately, he doesn't do enough in defence or in attack. He's just kind of for me, he's a squad player. And Kouyaté, at least, is strong, tall, good in the air, can pass it. I'd rather start Kouyaté. He's a bit more physically imposing. And McArthur might be kind of on the wane, kind of 31, 32. I'm not sure he's still got the legs for the Premier League.
I was actually going to ask that as well. Disappointed that Kouyaté didn't start. Why do you think Roy did that? Because when he came on as well, it seemed like he had a bit of an impact.
Yeah, he did have an impact. And it's just, as I said before, it's just Roy liking Jeffrey Schlupp and James McArthur. It's just simple as that, because you've seen so many times this season. Like, for instance, when Max Meyer played at home, was it against Huddersfield, he got substituted at halftime for having a poor performance. And Roy never does substitutions at half. Like, when's the last time before that he's done a substitution at half time? Tactical substitution. He doesn't. But you saw with James McArthur yesterday, he had a poor first half, but he's still in the game. And it's pretty much, it points to the, it just proves that Roy likes certain players more than others.
Can I ask, has Kouyaté played that much? I don't feel like I've seen him a lot for Palace, and I thought it was a brilliant signing. Yeah. Great value as well. It was 8 million. I think it was something like that, like really cheap on the current market. Do you think that he could be a bigger player for Crystal Palace than he currently is?
I think he played a decent amount before he got injured. He got injured around, I'm not too sure, was it December? No, not December, January-ish. I'm not too sure. Around then, he got injured and then he wasn't playing. And before his injury, he was brilliant. Like, he's a typical box-to-box player. but he has the strength and he can actually play football. It's not like he's just a big person who just bodies people. He can actually play football. He's got an IQ to play. And you saw that when he came on for Jeffrey Schlupp. So hopefully this proves to Roy that Kouyaté should be one of the first, like, maybe not the first name, but first couple of names in the team sheet, because the impact he brings onto the pitch is just massive.
Okay, right, let's carry on with winners and losers from the game. I'm going to throw it open to you guys. I'm not going to give my opinion, but the goalkeeper, is it Guaita?
Yeah.
For me, stand up, save the first goal.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, yeah. You could.
We criticise
Patrick Van Aanholt for the first goal. Mm-hmm. There has been people have been questioning Guaita as well. You know, he could be at fault potentially. If he stood up, he would have been a bit better. He just went on his knees. I don't know.
It's a difficult one, because then if Sterling goes low across him and he's kind of halfway up and can't get down in time, and it was quite a good finish, you know, right in the top corner, I definitely think he's better than Wayne Hennessy. He's definitely, definitely number one.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to keep the faith with him.
I mean, Guaita does mistakes, but the difference is when it comes to big saves, he normally does deliver, which we haven't really seen with Wayne Hennessy, and that's what separates him from Wayne.
Oh, quite interesting. Yeah, because I did see Guaita drop the ball quite a lot from crosses and corners and stuff.
There's been a couple of games.
Shot stopping.
Yeah. That's probably the most important factor. I know he makes mistakes, but then again, he delivers as well. He's saved us a couple of times over the last couple of games.
And anybody else that you want to chuck in the bin, or let's try and put some praise on somebody. From a positive side of things, who gave a good display of themselves on Sunday?
I mean, we talk about this guy every single week, but Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Right.
Yeah.
We shouldn't talk about him too much. Tottenham fans might be listening, you know.
I mean, well, City fans as well, and there's so many fans. Bayern Munich were linked with him.
Jamie Redknapp said, actually, on the TV at the weekend, he's that good. He has no doubt that he will play for a Champions League top four team.
I mean, if he keeps up, right now, he should be.
Max? Yeah, 100%. That's probably the first sensible thing Jamie Redknapp has ever said. He is. Yeah, he's absolutely right. Wan-Bissaka is going to be an England international. And to be honest, if right back wasn't one of England's strongest positions, I think he'd already be capped.
Yeah. So let's compare him against Trent Alexander-Arnold then. I mean, let's break down the game a little bit. So first of all, defensively, would we say maybe that Aaron Wan-Bissaka is a better defender than Trent Alexander-Arnold?
He's a better defender, but it's just the other side of the pitch going forward. Maybe Trent Alexander-Arnold is the better player going forward. And it's something they really need, because it's not like with England, you have a right back that just stays back. They have to go forward. So I think that's what really separates him from Wan-Bissaka.
And do you reckon that, i.e. the England battle that he might have with Trent Alexander-Arnold moving forward, will be a reason to accelerate a move away from Palace to try and establish himself?
Not really, because he still should be in the squad. It's not like there's only one right back. Like, for instance, Kyle Walker, I know he has played centre back a couple of times for England, but still, I think Aaron Wan-Bissaka's had a better year than him, and also the age as well. He's a younger player, which Southgate tends to like. So I don't think he has to move away from Palace to play for England. I think Southgate's already acknowledged that he's a very good player, but his time will come, and we just have to wait, unfortunately.
And anybody else, a winner from the game at the weekend?
I thought in his absence, Mamadou Sakho really kind of got a lot of...
plaudits.
A lot of plaudits, because you look at Scott Dan, who obviously isn't, you know, as comfortable on the ball. And I think especially when he's not there, I think you notice that the composure on the ball and, you know, maybe the ability to turn past an attacker who's closing you down, the ability to look forward and find a man in midfield. Because ultimately, when City pressed Scott Dan, on the very rare occasions they didn't have the ball, he just lumped it. And it was a bit aimless. It was a bit kind of hopeless. And with someone like Mamadou Sakho, you've got composure and he's played at the top level, and you really do miss him when he doesn't play.
Yeah, my heart stops every time like Sakho's on the ball, but as you said, he still manages to find him passes, which is really the difference maker. And I feel like we've missed him ever since he's been injured.
Do you feel as well that maybe he makes the other players in the back line more confident?
Yeah, I think everyone really, even in midfield, because the midfield they're pretty confident with Mama passing the ball to them, and also the goalkeeper as well. He's a brilliant defender, and he's even though he doesn't look comfortable at times, he believes in himself to make the passes.
We just need to get him cuddling Christian Benteke a bit more so he scores up the other end and then exactly. Everything is fine.
Yeah, exactly. Then we'll be a top six club in Europa League.
If you are listening out there, what do you think? Who was one of your winners from the game at the weekend, Selhurst Park? You did lose to Manchester City 3-1, but was there anyone that cloaked themselves in dignity throughout the game? Give us a shout. 0208 70 20 558 is the number, or at Love Sport Radio across the socials. This is the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Myself, James Sherwood, and the boys from the Back of the Nest podcast, DR and Max. We've been chewing the fat, reviewing the game from the weekend. And when we get into the next hour, we are going to be discussing in a bit more detail that said game, and also looking at Wayne Hennessy and this whole thing off of the pitch. I've got an interesting perspective on it myself, and I talked to the boys in the Drive Time show before we all came in here about it a little bit, so I'll be interested to get your opinions on it as well, boys. But you guys out there, if you're listening as well, we want to hear from you. There's three of us in the studio. Let's make it a four-way. Hey, 0208 70 20 558 is the number, or at Love Sport Radio across the socials. It's just coming up to 8 p.m. Don't forget, though, guys, at 9 p.m. it turns into the QPR Fan Show. We have got the guys from Ranger Things podcast representing as well. So that should be good fun. QPR on your airways between 9 and 10 p.m. this evening. I'll still be here, but you two. You're not going to be here, are you? Unless you want to come and talk about QPR.
I mean, they're nice lads. They're nice lads. Well, I don't think I'll be saying it for QPR.
They're not going to be as offended by my Cholton top, I don't think, unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe not. But I'm not really offended. I just laugh at it every time I look.
All right, hold it down. There was a point this season where potentially we could have been playing each other in the Championship.
Oh, right?
No, you're not sure?
Nah.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hi, it's Jenny from Simple Bath and Kitchen. I'm the dreamer, always thinking about how to make a bathroom spa worthy.
And I'm Bill, the realist, making sure the budget and timeline stay on track.
Together, we design beautiful bathrooms in 1 to 4 days.
And complete amazing kitchens in only 1 week.
Don't wait. Fall is here. Get your perfect new bath or kitchen before the holidays. Visit us at simplebathandkitchen.com or call us at 614-888-BATH.
That's 614-888-BATH.